Welcome back to Hackman Field in Marshfield. I'm Chris Conley, just about ready for baseball. Coach Dave Langman's comments about the field position should probably be expanded on. Hackman Field is a bog today. Literally, you can see the players' footprints sinking into the turf as they walk between the infield and the dugout. The outfield, you can almost see water splash up when players run through there, and there is standing water on the warning tracks and on the path, the dirt path, leading from the dugouts to home plate. Our home plate umpire came out and literally was trying to step some of the divots back down into the infield that were torn up during infield practice. No matter, we are playing today. Let's check the Evergreen starting batting order. Leading off is the catcher, Mason Hagenbusher. Cody Cocker will bat second. He'll play third base. Mike Plaza, two home runs in the last two games, hitting .462. He'll bat third and play left field. Wyatt Brown will play center field and bat fourth. Brady Burrell is the Evergreen starting pitcher. He'll bat fifth. Sean Lutke gets the start in right field, batting sixth. Nathan Sleifert plays second base and will bat seventh. Josh Merchant is today's first baseman. He'll bat eighth. And Alex Kell at shortstop, batting ninth. For the Evergreens, now back to 7-7 for the season. Hagenbusher, Cocker, Plaza, Brown, Burrell, Lutke, Sleifert, Merchant, and Alex Kell. And they'll do their batting against Marshfield's number one pitcher, Jack Donahue. Let's use this moment before first pitch to set the Marshfield defense, starting in the outfield. Colton Zahadra plays left field. Caleb Alexander is in center. And Colton's brother Devin Zahadra is in right field. In the infield, Cameron Swanson's at third base. Trevor Schwedke's the shortstop. Sam Klein's at second base. And J.C. Kresselt plays first base. Hard-hitting Dalton Varsho is catching, and completing the battery for Marshfield is right-hander Jack Donahue. Both of these teams come in with a .500 record. Marshfield played two against Holman at their invitational tournament over the weekend, so both teams had two games on Saturday. Holman is an outstanding team this year. They're 10-1. And Marshfield begins play today 4-4 in conference, 9-9 overall. And here comes Mason Hagenbusher to get our ball game underway. Glad you are with us for the second game of our Fox Sports doubleheader. You heard Spash and Wausau East earlier. Mason Hagenbusher hitting .347. That's 17 of 49. Umpire calls play ball, and we are ready for the first pitch. Jack Donahue gets his sign from Dalton Varsho. Here it comes. First pitch is a line drive right up the middle in center field. A base hit to lead things off for Mason Hagenbusher. Just the start that the Evergreens wanted. Evergreens pounded out a lot of hits when we last saw them on Saturday in their doubleheader against Eau Claire Memorial. The Evergreens got 7 runs in the 10th inning to win that first game, 15-8. And then they battled in a low-scoring game, 5-4, to win the nightcap. Cody Cocker ready to take his turn. Can the Evergreens 1-2 hitters both lefties against right-handed pitcher Jack Donahue? See how Donahue responds with some speed at first base. The infield conditions are not conducive to running. Big lead there. First ball hitting that's popped up just over our broadcast position down the third base line for strike one. Evergreens Baseball is brought to you by the Bone and Joint Center, comprehensive orthopedic, podiatry, spine, and sports medicine care with clinics in Wausau, Medford, and Merrill. Online at bonejoint.net. We are just underway playing the top of the first inning. Glad you could be with us for our tape delay broadcast. Pickoff throw over to first. Back safely is Mason Hagenbusher. Even for early in the ball game, it's important for Donahue to get Cocker out here. Not clear yet if the Evergreens are going to try and bump the runner over, but with Mike Plaza on deck, who's a threat to take you yard at any time with how hot he's been hitting the last couple of games, you want to limit the number of runners on base. There's another throw over to first base. And Cody Cocker, waiting in the batter's box, has yet to see the first pitch of this sequence. This is the first ball game where we've played this year that you could describe the weather as muggy. 72 degrees at first pitch, some hazy sunshine, otherwise a lot of cloud cover. Almost feels like a thunderstorm, even though that's not in the forecast. Here is the pitch. Cody Cocker lays down the bunt. It is back to the pitcher, and the play is to first. The Evergreens do move the runner over. Cody Cocker retired by sacrifice, and Mason Hagenbusher is in scoring position with one out, with Mike Plaza and Wyatt Brown with a chance to knock him home. So Cocker did what he was asked. This makes sense. You're going against Marshfield's number one pitcher, so runs may be hard to come by. And again, with these essentially even teams, two 500 teams, getting a run early and not playing from behind, yeah, that's where you want to be. Here comes Mike Plaza. 5 of 6 in the first game of that doubleheader against Eau Claire Memorial, and then 1 for 3 in the second game. And the one was a 400-plus-foot home run to left center field. I'm amazed that no one has pitched around Plaza yet. Well, they pitched around. Plaza has not been issued an intentional walk all year. Now, from here on out, every conference opponent that the Evergreens play will have seen Mike Plaza once before, so that may change as we go through the final couple of weeks of the season. First pitch to Plaza is outside, ball one. It's a runner at second and one out as we play the top of the first inning. Donahue checks that runner at second. That's the speedy Mason Hagenbusher, and here's a fly ball. Got underneath it. Popped up to shallow right field. The right fielder is calling and catching. Devin Zahatra makes the catch, and now there are two outs. Wyatt Brown, just when you think he's starting to heat up, Wyatt Brown had only two hits in the two games over the weekend. So Wyatt Brown, I guess, qualifies as a little bit hot and cold. For the season, that's a .220 batting average for Wyatt Brown. Chance for a big RBI here. You know, the field conditions affect how you play in the infield. You've got to play the infield in, and you've got to charge the ball here because the turf is so wet and is going to play so slow today. First pitch to Wyatt Brown. Start him off with an off-speed pitch, and it's on the outside corner. Strike one. Brady Burrell will have a chance to help himself before he takes the mound, if Wyatt Brown can keep the inning going. Waiting on Donahue's 0-1 pitch. Takes a long time as he checks that runner. That pitch is inside. The count goes to 1-1. I'm not sure if it helps or hurts a lot of these young pitchers, but a lot of times once they have a runner on base, some of the pacing of these pitches just suddenly slows to a crawl. 1-1 pitch. That one's overthrown. Fastball up over Wyatt Brown's head. It's a ball and two strikes. D.C. Everest Baseball on Fox Sports Radio, brought to you by CoVantage Credit Union. You step into more cash with a car loan from CoVantage Credit Union. 2-1. Wyatt Brown should get one to hit here. Donahue again. Long look at Mason Hagenbusher, the runner at second. Mason's got a big lead there. Wyatt Brown's out in front of that pitch and fouls it back into the screen behind home plate. It's two balls and two strikes. All right, Wyatt with the big yellow and black striped bat. Got to shorten up here and watch out for something off speed. He's vulnerable to the strikeout this season in situations just like this. All right, Donahue to Brown. Here comes the 2-2 pitch. It's on the way, and it's a slow roller to second base. Fielded there by Sam Klein. Over to first, they get the speedy Wyatt Brown by a step. The Evergreens waste a leadoff single and do not score in their half of the first inning. D.C. Everest nothing, Marshfield coming up to bat on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM 93.9. Welcome back to Jack Hackman Field in Marshfield. Brady Burrell with a 4-2 record for the season, completing his warm-up tosses. We'll check the Marshfield batting order. Caleb Alexander leads off and plays center field. Trevor Schwenke is the shortstop, and he'll bat second. Dalton Varsho, one of the leading hitters in the Valley Conference, bats third and catches. Pitcher Jack Donahue will bat fourth. Second baseman Sam Klein will bat fifth. J.C. Kresselt, the first baseman, will bat sixth. Devin Zahatra will play right field and will bat seventh. Mitch Zillman will be the designated hitter. Zillman is DHing for the third baseman Cameron Swanson today, and Zillman, the DH, will bat eighth. Colton Zahatra will play left field and bat ninth. That's Alexander Schwetke Varsho, Donahue Klein Krasselt, Devin Zahatra, Mitch Zillman, and Colton Zahatra to complete the Marshfield batting order. The Evergreens defensively, that's Mike Plaza out in left, splashing through the outfield in left field. It is tremendously soggy in center field and the outfield, almost to the point of unsafe for today's game. Wyatt Brown is in center field and Sean Lutke is in right. For the Evergreens in the infield, Cody Cocker starts at third, Alex Kell is at short, Nate Sleaford is at second base, and Josh Merchant gets the start at first because Brady Burrell is pitching today. Mason Hagenbusher is behind the plate to complete the Evergreens battery. And Mason Hagenbusher completes the warm-up tosses for Brady Burrell with his throw down to second. We're ready to get the bottom of the first inning underway. Evergreen's got that leadoff single from Mason Hagenbusher and wasted it. Left him stranded at second after bunting him over. Couldn't get that timely hit with one out. And here comes Caleb Alexander. When these teams met earlier in the season, the Evergreens played what I thought was their best game of the year, a 7-1 victory. Good defense, they hit the ball, yet limited those errors. First pitch from Brady Burrell is outside. That's a ball. Now, Brady Burrell worked three innings on Saturday. Just to keep him fresh, he left the game and did not get a decision. In a ball game, the Evergreens went on to win by a run. Overhand fastball there misses. It's two balls and no strikes. It was also Brady Burrell who was on the mound for that Evergreens win against Marshfield 2 weeks ago over at Simon Field. Burrell's pitch there is over on the outside corner. There's strike one. Two balls, one strike to Caleb Alexander. Right-handed batter against right-handed pitcher. Evergreens do play the infield in, except for shortstop Alex Kell. He's deep in the hole. Brady Burrell overthrows there. Three balls and one strike. Brady's having a little trouble finding the strike zone early here to Caleb Alexander. Brady also worked behind to a lot of the batters that he saw in that Eau Claire West game. Pitch there, better release point on the outside corner, three balls and two strikes. And Caleb Alexander has seen five pitches and has not taken the bat off his shoulder. He'll have to swing away here, three balls, two strikes. Here's Brady Burrell's pitch, swing and a miss, he got it. Caleb Alexander, I think, foul tipped that back into the mitt of Mason Hagenbusher. That's the first out. D.C. Everest and Marshfield brought to you by EverythingEvergreens.com. Told you how wet the field was. We took some photographs of that, and we've posted it through our Instagram account. We're sharing them with you using the hashtag D.C. Everest. When you come to the games, post your pictures, too. Use hashtag D.C. Everest and share them with everything, with everyone at EverythingEvergreens.com. Trevor Schwetke is in, right-handed batter. First pitch to him is up high for ball one. Brady Burrell has been missing up high with his fastball, trying to spot that. Here comes his 1-0 pitch. Slow topped ball to third base. Cody Cocker's got it. Throws over to Josh Merchant at first. Cocker did a good job charging in to get that out. It's the second out. Yeah, with the infield so wet and slow, if you play back for a hop, you're at risk of giving up an infield hit. Burrell has retired the first two that he's faced, and here comes Dalton Barshow. For away team stats, we get stats from the Wisconsin Valley Conference, which includes conference games only. Against Valley pitching, Varsho is hitting .387. His three home runs in conference play is best. Off-speed pitch, swing and a miss. The Evergreens limited Varsho. They did a good job against him the first time. Actually, on two notes, the Evergreens made sure they didn't have men on base when Varsho was coming up. And Varsho was 1-for-4, and these teams met before. Brady Burrell knows to keep the pitch down here. He missed down low, one ball, one strike. Marshfield's pitcher Jack Donahue awaits on deck. Two outs and none on, exactly where you want Varsho. Nobody on base to respect that power. Brady Burrell's pitch there misses low, two balls and a strike. Again, Varsho can be very dangerous if you get behind in the count. And Brady Burrell has just done that here as we are waiting on a 2-1 delivery. Here it comes. And that is got him under it. Popped it up. It's in foul territory down the right field line. Is there room for Lutke? Yes, there is. He makes the catch in foul territory about a step from the chain link fence. And Dalton Varsho has fouled out. A 3-up, 3-down first inning for Brady Burrell. And at the end of one, there's no score between the Evergreens and the Marshfield Tigers. Back in a minute on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM 93.9. Back at Marshfield, I'm Chris Conley. Evergreens send numbers 5, 6, and 7 to the plate to lead off the top of the second in this scoreless ballgame. Jack Donahue is out for his second inning of work. Brady Burrell, who's been kind of light hitting so far this year, was able to put one out of the ballpark. An opposite field, right field home run for Brady Burrell. Now, you know what? Not opposite field for Brady. He's left-handed. Burrell for the season is hitting only 143. That's four hits in 28 at-bats. Brady does not get as many at-bats as some of his teammates because sometimes he is DH'd for when he is pitching. That's not the case today. He'll bat for himself today as the Evergreens are not using a designated hitter. Not sure what the delay is here. It's taken a long time for Jack Donahue to get out and complete his warm-up tosses. He has now, and Brady Burrell is ready to step in. Evergreens Baseball is brought to you by Glenray Radiators. Quality and service go hand-in-hand at Glenray Radiators, serving the community since 1964. Glenray Radiators. Now, Brady Burrell's right-handed batter. His home run was to the opposite field. Don't mind me. First pitch, top of the second inning, and it's up high for ball one. Home plate umpire so far consistently has not been giving the high strike. As long as that's called both ways, no problem. And Brady Burrell was missing high when he was on the bump back in the first inning. Here's a line drive. Base hit to left field. Brady Burrell put that over the shortstop's head and dumped it in front of the left fielder Colton Zahadra. For the second inning in a row, the Evergreens have greeted Jack Donahue with a line drive single. Sean Lutke to bat now. And the Evergreens are going to send out a courtesy runner. Kyle Zableski is going to run for Brady Burrell. Good to see Kyle returning to the Evergreens lineup. He played in the second game of that doubleheader over the weekend on Saturday. A game that the Evergreens went on to win 5-4. Here comes Sean Lutke ready to bat. Home plate umpire is doing his paperwork, noting the courtesy runner here. And it's taken him a little while to get it in there. Now we're ready for Sean Lutke, who's hitting an even 300 for the season. Lutke is a left-handed batter. They swing around a little bit towards the right field line. Play two steps in at third base in case he's going to put down a bunt. He is swinging away. First ball hitting, and it's a fly ball. Got under it a little bit to left field. Colton Zahadra is there, makes the catch. And Sean Lutke sees only one pitch before flying out. Did not move the runner over. Courtesy runner Zableski remains at first base, and here comes Nathan Sleifert. Nate Sleifert is one of the Evergreens, just not quite going yet at the plate. He's 2 of 25 this season. See if he is asked to sacrifice. No, the runner is going. Pitch is down low. Throw down to second. It's on the wrong side of the bag. In fact, it goes into the outfield. You know what? If the courtesy runner was more alert, he didn't realize that it got behind the shortstop and went into the outfield. He could have taken an extra base. Instead, it is a stolen base. The pitch back at the plate was ball one, and now for the second inning in a row, the Evergreens have put a runner on second in scoring position with less than two outs. So the Evergreens did not score in this situation in the last inning. They'll try and change that here. So Nathan Sleifert, despite the light batting average, has a chance to pick his team up with an RBI if he can hit to the outfield. 1-0 pitch, takes a strike there. It's a ball and one strike. I'm Chris Conley, and we're in Marshfield. Evergreens and Tigers for the second game of our Fox Sports doubleheader. No baseball on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, the Evergreens travel crosstown to Walsall West. We'll have that game live. 4:45 pregame. First pitch at 5 o'clock on Thursday. Lots of Evergreen fans should be making that crosstown trip to Walsall West. There's a ground ball on the infield. Second baseman fields and throws, and the Evergreens with two outs have moved the runner over to third base. So Sleifert grounds out to Klein, and now it's up to Josh Merchant to pick up that runner at third base. You know, as good as some of the Evergreens have hit, there are other batters in this lineup that have not gotten going yet. And in some ways, you're pitching, of course. But how deep the Evergreens go in the playoffs will be determined. Can you get one or two of these additional bats all warmed up? So why not Josh Merchant? Merchant got an infield hit, but he's 3 of 23. First ball swinging, fouls that one off. Translates to a 130 batting average. Right-handed batter, and Josh Merchant's a broad-shouldered kid. One of these days, he's going to get a hold of one, and some opposing pitcher's going to pay. 0-1 pitch here. That's a curveball, and that drops in for strike two. So Merchant is down in the count. 0-2 here. Runner at third and two outs. Scoreless as we play the top of the second. Jack Donahue comes set, looks over to that runner at third. Big lead there. Here's the pitch. Merchant takes that one high. Tried to get him to chase, and he didn't. Evergreens Baseball is brought to you by Mallory and Zimmerman, attorneys at law. They're proud supporters of local high school sports, and they wish all area athletes a successful season. See if Josh Merchant can shorten up and make contact here. 1-2 pitch is on the way, and that misses down low. Two balls, two strikes. Should Merchant work out a walk, Alex Kell awaits. Kell has been hot and cold. Against Wausau East, he was 3-for-3. Did not hit as well in the doubleheader. Still hitting .342 for the season. That's in the on-deck circle. Off-speed pitch there, and that one missed not by much. Ooh. Donahue took a step towards the dugout like he thought he had a strike there. Instead, three balls, two strikes to Josh Merchant. Tried to get his off-speed pitch to drop in. It was very close. In all honesty, too close to take. Now we get a payoff pitch with two outs. Here it is, and that is up high. Josh Merchant has walked. The pitch that was ball three was closer than the pitch that was ball four. Ball four was up high, and again, no high strikes have been called so far in this ballgame. And that's been consistent for both sides. Now with two outs, the Evergreens have runners on first and third. Alex Kell steps in. A Kell hit would break this scoreless tie. Right-handed batter. And Jack Donahue, who kind of thinks that runner at first got away from him, is ready for his first pitch to Alex Kell. Here it comes. First ball hitting. This is a blooped ball over the second baseman's head. It may fall. It does fall. And the Evergreens will get a run. And Josh Merchant is going to move over to third base, too, knowing there were two outs and running with the pitch. Good base running for Josh Merchant. An RBI single for Alex Kell. Just a bloop over the second baseman's head, but it gets the Evergreens a run, and it's their third hit of the ball game. Did the job just like a line drive would have done. And again, excellent base running from Josh Merchant. You'd be amazed at how many runners at the high school level don't recognize. Two outs, run on anything. And Josh Merchant was going. The throw after the bloop came into second base, and Josh Merchant had already rounded second and was going on to third. That's alert. So the Evergreens, because they were playing smart on the base paths, have runners on first and third again for Mason Hagenbusher. Hagenbusher took the first pitch of the ball game and lined it for a single. Evergreens 1-0. First ball swing again. This is topped out to the pitcher. Off the mound as Donahue throws over to first, and Mason Hagenbusher is out. The Evergreens get a run on two hits. Bottom of the second is next. D.C. Everest 1, Marshfield nothing on Fox Sports Radio. AM 1390, FM 93.9. Welcome back to Marshfield. Well, the players run in front of our broadcast position. You can just hear the ground squish. The field is very, very wet. You can almost see the players sinking in as they play the outfield. It is that soggy out there. The infield has started to dry out. One of the things that we're dealing with at Hackman Field today, this is a low-elevation field. The junior varsity field, which is just beyond the third base line, is up with higher elevation. And the area behind the outfield wall and the parking lot are both higher than this field. So this field is kind of like a bowl, and a lot of the water and moisture from all the heavy rain last night and early this morning is draining down into this field. It is waterlogged. No other way to describe it. Evergreens lead 1-0. Bottom of the second is on. 4, 5, and 6 in the Marshfield batting order to take their turns. Pitcher Jack Donahue will lead off. Donahue, before he gets into the batter's box, is looking down at his coach at third base, getting his signs before he steps in against Brady Burrell. Marshfield took a lot of pitches there in that first inning, whereas the Evergreens, in contrast, did a lot of first ball hitting. Brady Burrell puts the first pitch over, strike one. You know what? If you're a pitcher and you sense that the stop sign is up for most of these hitters, that they are going to take the first pitch, just put that first ball over the plate. Off-speed pitch here. Donahue swings over it. Just like that, he's down in the count. No balls, two strikes. I thought on that first pitch in the sequence, Brady Burrell sensed that. And he knew the batter was going to take. Just put a soft fastball in there. 0-2, reaching down for it and popping it up on the infield is Donahue. Nathan Sleaford, the second baseman, moves over and makes the catch. Donahue took the first pitch strike and then popped out, or just softly lined out, on what would have been a ball. Brady Burrell retires the first four Tigers that he's seen, and here comes Sam Klein, the second baseman. Klein's the first left-handed bat that Brady Burrell is going to see in this Marshfield lineup. Righty against lefty. First pitch, first ball swinging. It's a ground ball to second. Nathan Sleaford fields it cleanly, throws over to first. And just like that, Brady Burrell has thrown five pitches and has two outs here in the bottom of the second inning. J.C. Krasilt now to take his turn. Actually, he's been announced as Jace Krasilt, and our PA guy would know. Gene Delisio, the voice of the Marshfield Tigers, sits right next to him. Everybody in Marshfield knows Gene Delisio. First pitch is over for a strike. I get to see Gene very often doing basketball games or doing football games when the Marshfield Tigers are on the Everest schedule. One ball and no strikes. First pitch is outside. There's a swing and a miss. Jace Krasilt over the top of that fastball. It's 1-1. Evergreen's on the hit column 3-0. They have a 1-0 lead on Alex Kell's RBI single in the top half of this inning. Here's Brady Burrell's 1-1 pitch. And that's a little high. Yep, no high strikes today. You know what? Some umpires would be calling that pitch a strike. It's right at the letters, or maybe a little bit towards the lower edge of the letters. You know, in the major leagues just a couple of years ago, umpires got that instruction that that's a strike. Brady Burrell's off-speed pitch left that outside. Three balls, one strike. Burrell works faster when there's no one on base. Generally, he gets the ball and is ready to throw. He slows down when he's got a runner on. And here's the pitch. That is inside, and Brady Burrell has just issued his first walk of the afternoon. Jace Krasilt reaches first. Devin Zaradka will now bat. Both of the Zaradka brothers were in the lineup when we played over at Simon Field. Colton, who bats ninth, Colton Zaradka, was the starting pitcher for the Marshfield Tigers. Brother Devin also plays some first base. Right-handed batter with two outs and a runner on. First pitch is outside for a ball. Devin is a sophomore. Colton is a senior. And Brady Burrell comes set. Here is the 1-0 pitch. That one just misses inside. Two balls, no strikes. That was a closer pitch than the batter Zaradka made it seem like. He kind of took a little baby hop back as that pitch was inside. That could have gotten the inside corner. Burrell now has fallen behind the last two batters. Two balls, no strikes. Kind of aimed that one and missed outside. So, you know, there are times when Brady Burrell struggles with his mechanics. That's kind of what we're seeing now. He's down on the count 3-0 with Mitch Zillman, the designated hitter, waiting on deck. Don't want to lose Zaradka here. Pitch there is, he's taking all the way, and that's over for a strike. Yeah, when Brady Burrell senses that someone is taking, he does have the ability to just lollipop that pitch over. It's dangerous because if you guess wrong, then, well, you're throwing what may be sort of a batting practice pitch to someone. Three balls, one strike. And that pitch is over for strike two, so Brady Burrell has battled back 3-2. And like all great ballparks, we've got train tracks nearby. You hear the Canadian National rumbling through in the background. Three balls, two strikes with two outs. That runner on first base will get a running start. Here comes the payoff pitch. Strike three called, and Zaradka is down on strikes. He thought that was a ball. He took a step towards first base before the umpire raised that right hand and said, "No, sir." Brady Burrell allows a walk, and that runner's left at first base. End of two innings, D.C. Everest 1, Marshfield nothing on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM 93.9. Welcome back to Marshfield. I'm Chris Conley. Evergreens have 2, 3, and 4 in their batting order due up. Cody Cocker, Mike Plaza, and Wyatt Brown. And to have three hits early in the ball game, it's unusual, but none of those hits belong to any of those big bats. Cocker was asked to sacrifice back in the first inning. He moved Mason Hagenbusher over to second, but the Evergreens could move him no closer. D.C. Everest High School Baseball is brought to you by Baseman's Shoe and Clothing. For more than 80 years, Baseman's been supplying Central Wisconsin with nose-to-toes protection. Stop in today for wool shirts, wool bibs, wool socks, and all of your hunting needs at Baseman's Shoe and Clothing on Wausau's west side. Jack Donahue has completed his warm-up pitches, and his catcher, Dalton Varsho, is going to walk out to the mound before he throws his first to Cody Cocker. Dalton Varsho's dad, Gary Varsho, major leaguer, honored with a sign just down the right field line, one of the stars that the Marshfield program has produced. The Varshos, of course, still make their home here in the Marshfield School District. Here's Cody Cocker to lead things off. Left-handed bat, first ball swinging, slow roller to the third baseman, going to have to hurry, throw, got him by a step. Cameron Swanson knew that he had to charge and had to hurry. It's one of those balls where you hit it into the ground in the infield. It is so soft that it just dies. Infielders have to play in and have to charge. Swanson was aware of that and was able to retire Cody Cocker after seeing just one pitch. It is clear that the Evergreen strategy is to be aggressive at the plate. A lot of first ball swinging against Jack Donahue. Donahue is waiting for a new baseball. Again, if you're a pitcher, keeping the baseballs dry, getting one that you think you can throw well is going to be important. If I was a pitcher, I wouldn't be bashful about asking the umpire for a new ball or for a dry ball. It's the kind of day where we're going to go through a lot of baseballs because the field conditions are so poor. Here's Mike Plaza, who got under one and fouled out, flew out to right field. First pitch to Plaza is down low for a ball. And for Marshfield, of course, you want to face Mike Plaza with no one on base. And that is the case here. Plaza has the best swing on this Evergreens team. When he's relaxed and just swings through the zone, he does it just like you would draw it up in a hitting clinic. That one is fouled back. It's one ball, one strike. Plaza keeps the hands back, extends. He consistently extends that bat well through the hitting zone. Which is why even when he makes outs, a lot of times you see line drive outs from Mike Plaza. One ball, one strike here. Waiting for Jack Donahue's pitch. Here it comes. Plaza checked his swing. No, he was unable to hold up. It'll cost him a strike. I don't know about that. That's the kind of break that a pitcher would like when Mike Plaza is in the batting order. And Jack Donahue got it. It is now one ball and two strikes. See if Mike Plaza can shorten up and get a hit here. We've seen some hitting with two strikes from Mike Plaza. Chops this one to third. Third baseman charges in. Cameron Swanson, long throw. Throws high, and it's a throwing error over the head of his first baseman. Mike Plaza will take an extra base, and he'll be standing at second. A two-base error on Cameron Swanson. And with one out, the Evergreens will have another runner in scoring position. Now, that ball was chopped right up the third base line. You know what? If Swanson let it go, it would almost have been a foul ball. I'm not sure that would have been fair. But Swanson took a step in to play it. And because of that, I think he lost his perspective of how close that was to the foul line and then threw wildly on top of it. That throw was not close, well over the head of Jake Krasselt, the first baseman. So Mike Plaza goes to second on the throwing error, and here's Wyatt Brown. One out, and the Evergreens have another runner in scoring position. They've had a man in scoring position for each of the three innings so far. Wyatt Brown looks to bunt, and bunts it foul. And Wyatt Brown swings that bat around like he's frustrated. You know, Wyatt Brown has enough speed, he could bunt for base hits. No question about that. I think, yeah, he was being asked to sacrifice there. That wasn't something he was doing on his own. Third baseman Cameron Swanson plays even with the bag. Marshfield's trying to sneak the second baseman in behind Mike Plaza. Here's a ground ball to first, fielded cleanly by Jake Krasselt. He goes over to the bag, and that retires the runner. That retires the batter, rather. The runner, Mike Plaza, advances to third on the ground out. Brady Burrell now ready to bat. One for one, a single last time up. So Brady Burrell, like all pitchers, knows there's a huge difference between a one-run and a two-run lead. And Brady Burrell holds that fate in his own hands here. Plaza at third, two outs. First pitch to Burrell is a little outside. That's a ball. Pitch had the height right. It was right at the knees, just a little off that outside corner. So Jack Donahue down in the count. One ball, no strikes. He's got to get Brady Burrell here. He doesn't want to fall further behind the Evergreens. Here's the pitch, and that misses outside with the fastball. Two balls, no strikes. Donahue looks like he's a little frustrated with the home plate umpire. Just stepped off the mound here. Both of those pitches were close. Both of them looked like they were outside. Off-speed pitch and fastball. Now he's down 2-0. See if he makes a mistake here. That pitch is over for a strike. And Burrell looked like he was taking there. Two balls, one strike, two outs. Mike Plaza at third, and the Evergreens already leading 1-0. See if they can double it here. Donahue's 2-1 pitch is on the way, and that is outside, three balls and one strike. Donahue so far today has walked one already against no strikeouts, and he's allowed three Evergreens hits. Evergreens hit Marshfield well the first time. 3-1 pitch. See if Burrell is tanking here. I'd let him hit. Let him get hold of a good one and drive this one in. He is indeed hitting, and a base hit to right field. Brady Burrell gets himself an RBI. You bet he had the green light there. Burrell is 2-for-2, and the Evergreens lead 2-0. Nice piece of hitting there by Brady Burrell. He got a fastball. It was over the outside part of the plate and sent it right into right field on a line. Brady Burrell with an RBI. And now Sean Lutke gets to bat. Just so far, and of course there's a lot of baseball left. Just looks like the Evergreens have Marshfield's number. They got 8 hits against these Tigers in their 7-run performance. There's a throw over to first, and Brady Burrell has just been picked off. Well, something good and then something bad happened. That brings the inning to a close on the base-running mistake by Brady Burrell. Well, it doesn't take anything away from his RBI single. The Evergreens get one run on one hit, and they also benefited from a Marshfield error. The run in that inning is unearned. At the end of 2.5, D.C. Everest 2, Marshfield nothing. On Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM 93.9. The bottom of the third inning is on, and Brady Burrell, the Evergreens pitcher, has not allowed a hit so far. Faced one over the minimum. 8, 9, and 1 in the Marshfield batting order are due up. It's the designated hitter, Mitch Zillman. Big right-handed bat is going to lead it off against Brady Burrell. First pitch to him off speed. Just missed outside. That's a ball. Zillman's a big kid. Looks like he stands at least 6 feet, maybe 6'1", 6'2". Took a big cut there. That's a home run cut. Swing and a miss. Right over the Brady Burrell fastball. It's one ball, one strike. Burrell, for the most part, has been able to work without runners on base. The only Marshfield runner to reach has been there by a walk. Foul tipped back into the catcher's mitt. A ball and two strikes on Zillman. Evergreens Baseball is sponsored by Brainerd Funeral Home, helping people celebrate lives past with personalized funeral services. Brainerd Funeral Home, supporting D.C. Everest sports. Brady Burrell's pitch there, that's a fastball, and that's fouled back. We stay at 1-2. Zillman steps in. You know, he's just one of those kids, looks confident in the batter's box. Did he check his swing there? Almost chased. They appeal down to first, no swing. Yep, I agree with that. Zillman did not go around, and instead it's two balls, two strikes. None out, and none on as we play the bottom of the third inning. Evergreens have built a 2-0 lead. Pitch there is down low, hoping that Zillman would chase, and he did not. So now the count has gone full. Brady Burrell doesn't want to lose the leadoff batter here. Here comes his payoff pitch, and that is a high ball four. Yep, that high strike has not been called for anyone today. And Brady Burrell has issued his second walk. Mitch Zillman is on first base. Colton Zarodka now comes up to take his turn. DC Everest Baseball is sponsored by Cloverbell Credit Union, voted the best credit union in the Wausau Daily Herald Reader's Choice Awards, where your bank does make a difference. Explore the benefits at ccuwausau.com. Brady Burrell pickoff throw to first. I would imagine Brady Burrell would like to return the favor after he was picked off earlier in the ballgame. Now he's ready to work to Zarodka, looking to bunt. Bunt is popped up in the air. Burrell catches it, throws to first to try and double him off. Got him! And you know what? That's a bad call at first. The runner was back in time. At least that's the way I saw it, although the Evergreens will gladly take the double play. The infield umpire calls Mitch Zillman out at first. The Marshfield coach has the same look that I has and have and know that that was not a good call. And instead there are two outs. So the bad bunt and then the quick throw over to first will take it is a double play. Caleb Alexander now to bat with two outs and none on. First pitch is up high to Caleb Alexander. That's a ball. Brady Burrell now gets a fastball that Caleb Alexander swings and misses at. It's one ball, one strike. Brady Burrell has had success when he's kept the ball down in this ballgame. He's doing that right there. 1-1 pitch, and that's on the outside corner. Pitcher's pitch there. Brady Burrell found the black. It's a ball and two strikes. Marshfield bench chattering a little bit. Maybe you just heard them. We want those calls too. One ball, two strikes. This one is bounced in the dirt. Alexander does not chase, and it's two balls, two strikes. We're playing the bottom of the third inning. Marshfield still looking for their first hit. The Tigers trail the Evergreens 2-0. Two balls, two strikes with two outs. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss, and Brady Burrell's got himself another strikeout. He's faced just one over the minimum through three complete. Everest 2, Tigers nothing on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM 93.9. Welcome back to Marshfield, where this has been a fast-moving ballgame. We go to the top of the fourth. The Evergreens have Sean Lutke, Nathan Sleaford, and Josh Merchant. 6, 7, and 8 in their batting order to face Jack Donahue. Donahue has not pitched poorly in this ballgame. Brady Burrell has pitched better. Donahue's been touched up for 4 hits and 2 runs. One of the runs unearned, reaching base on a throwing error and then coming around to score on an RBI single. Sean Lutke flied out to left field his first at-bat. Left-handed batter. Third baseman Cameron Swanson is a step in on the grass at third. The rest of the infield plays back and shades a little to the first base line. Here's the first pitch, first ball hitting, and this is popped up to left field. It's a long run, diving. Did he catch that? Yes, he did. Nice diving catch from Colton Zarodka. Zarodka had to leave his feet, and you could tell because the footing is not good there. He fought his way through that and was still able to get to that ball. His jersey and uniform pants are soaked. I mean, he dove for that ball and practically hydroplaned in the outfield. Wow. Nathan Sleaford to bat. Lutke didn't hit that ball particularly hard, but he was still robbed of what would otherwise have been a hit. First ball swinging. Did he check his swing? No. It'll cost Nate Sleaford a strike. Evergreens Baseball on Fox Sports Radio, sponsored by Valley Communities Credit Union, serving all of central Wisconsin. Find a branch near you. Go to valleycommunities.org. Second ball, ground ball up the middle. Base hit for Nathan Sleaford. Sent that one right up through the originator. The shortstop was unable to get over behind the bag to make a play on it. And a ground ball single into center field gets Nathan Sleaford aboard. For Nathan Sleaford, only his third hit. His second hit of the season, though, came in that doubleheader over the weekend, so maybe he's starting to heat up and get his bat on track. Josh Merchant, who walked his first time up, will bat now. One out and one on as the Evergreens try and improve on this 2-0 lead. First pitch to Merchant. He is first ball swinging, and this is popped up on the right side. First baseman calling, drifting into foul territory, makes the catch, and Josh Merchant is fouled out, seeing only one pitch. Yeah, clearly that was something that was said to these Evergreens either before the game or during warm-ups, that you want to be aggressive at the plate against Jack Donahue. So far, the approach has worked, but a lot of first ball swinging. Evergreens have not taken a lot of pitches in this ballgame. Again, maybe, you know, part of the strategy is that Jack Donahue also wants to put that first pitch over for a strike. And sometimes that first pitch is the best pitch you'll see in the at-bat. Alex Kell had an RBI single to bring us to 1-0. There's a throw over to first, and Nathan Sleaford is back. Kell is batting with two outs and a runner on first. Evergreens have single runs in the second and third innings to build this 2-0 lead. They'll need a two-out rally if they'd like to see more. First pitch to Alex Kell, fastball, kind of overthrown, a little inside. And Kell takes ball one. Kind of hopped back there a little bit. Should Kell reach, we'll go back to the top of the batting order for the Evergreens. Jack Donahue comes set. Here's his pitch. Runner's got a big lead, and there is a base hit over the head of shortstop Trevor Schwetke and into left center field. It was hit hard enough that the runner is unable to advance beyond second base, so the Evergreens, trying to get something going with two outs, have runners at first and second for Mason Hagenbusher. Mason Hagenbusher, 1-for-2. Singled on a line back in the first inning, and then just topped back to the pitcher in his second at-bat. Hit one hard, hit one soft. Let's see if we can stick with the pattern and get back to hard and bring in an RBI here. Jack Donahue now is going to pitch under a little bit of pressure. He can't afford to fall behind 3-0. First pitch started Mason Hagenbusher off with a breaking ball and missed. Now again, that pitch is going to break away from Mason Hagenbusher, who bats left-handed. But of course, you've got to be able to throw that for a strike. Donahue comes set, checks that runner at first, and misses up high. Two balls and no strikes. Hard to say if Donahue is pitching from behind or ahead of the Evergreens hitters. The Evergreens have swung and have put the ball in play so early in the count against him. It's behind here, 2-0. There are two outs, and there are runners on first and second. Mason Hagenbusher is going to get a pitch to hit here. Here it comes, and it is a pitch to hit. And it's well hit to right field. Now the ballpark's going to hold it. A couple of steps in front of the warning track, Devin Zahadkra makes the catch, and that brings the inning to an end. I thought that was hit better off the bat than it actually was. The Evergreens get two hits and leave runners stranded at first and second. 3.5 innings. Evergreens lead the Tigers 2-0. We'll be back with the bottom of the fourth after this break on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM 93.9. A little bit of sunshine trying to work through the clouds here at Jack Hackman Field in Marshfield. It's a humid day. We started in the low 70s. Temperatures are in the 60s now as Brady Burrell goes out to work the bottom of the fourth. Trevor Schwedke to lead off. Schwedke, Varsho, and Donahue, 2, 3, and 4, in the Tigers' batting order to bat here. And, you know, in a 7-inning high school game, when a pitcher is on, you might only get 3 plate appearances. So this middle part of the Marshfield order may only come around once more after this inning. So Marshfield's got to try and get into this D.C. Embers lead. Evergreens about hit the Tigers 6-0. Schwedke grounded out to third his first time up. And here's Brady Burrell's pitch. Pitch is inside for a ball. Brady worked 3 innings on Saturday. So maybe it's this inning and then he gives way to the bullpen. Hard to pull someone out, though. Brady Burrell is not allowed a hit. 1-0 pitch, and here's a ground ball to the first base side. First baseman fields it, bobbles it briefly, and safe. Josh Merchant bobbled that ball, and it's going to be an error. It was a slow roller, nothing complicated about it. Josh Merchant just had it roll up the heel of his glove. Give Schwedke credit because he was running that out the whole way, and it looked like an easy ground out. And sometimes for the Evergreens, nothing is easy. So now with a runner on first who should not be there, Dalton Varsho gets to bat. None out and one on. And the pitching challenge for Brady Burrell is to make sure that that defensive error doesn't come back to cost him. Want to be careful with Dalton Varsho, left-handed batter. Start him off with a curveball. It bounces low. Catcher Mason Hagenbusher with a good job making the save there. Evergreens lead 2-0. But heavy-hitting Dalton Varsho represents the tying run with that runner on first. One of the Evergreens runs is unearned. And should that runner on first come around to score, he would be an unearned run. Pitches down low to Varsho, 2 balls and no strikes. And just in this situation, with a 2-0 lead, you don't want to concede a walk here. Jack Donahue is on deck. He can hit two. Never want to put the tying run on base on a free pass. So it's a situation where you kind of have to pitch to Varsho. Just got to pitch to him carefully. Brady Burrell throws over to first. Would love to see if he could wipe out Trevor Schwedke. Schwedke is back easily. Evergreens Baseball on Fox Sports Radio is brought to you by Marshfield Clinic. Need help with a sports injury? See the expert sports medicine physicians at Marshfield Clinic. Don't just live, shine. Brady Burrell just threw an off-speed pitch. Sure looked like a strike to me. Called a ball, 3-0. And when you're trying to nibble around the corners against a really good batter, you need that close call, and he did not get it. 3-0, that one's up high, ball four. So Varsho gets a four-pitch walk. And it looked like on ball four, Brady Burrell wasn't all that interested in throwing to him. After having the close 2-0 pitch called for ball three, ball four was just left up high where you knew that Varsho wasn't going to be able to hit it. So now the Tigers have none out. And runners on first and second. This is Marshfield's first threat of the ball game. First time they've got a runner beyond first base. Here comes Jack Donahue. Pitcher with a chance to help himself. Again, Tigers still looking for their first hit against Brady Burrell. Fouled off at the plate, strike one. Started off Donahue with something that was off speed there, and he just tapped that right into the ground behind home plate and had so much English on it that it spun back towards the backstop. Donahue hit a soft liner with two outs to the second baseman Nathan Sleaford. Didn't really make good contact there and was an easy out in his first plate appearance back in the second inning. 0-1 pitch to Donahue here. Went down and got that one and singles to center field. It's the first hit. Is Marshfield going to try and score a run? Yes. The throw goes to third and the runner is in. Marshfield scores a run and will have runners on the corners. Jack Donahue with an RBI single for the Tigers. The first three Marshfield batters have reached in the fourth inning and the Evergreens lead is cut in half. Now 2-1. And Marshfield, with that runner on third base, has a chance to get more. Wyatt Brown's throw from center field was to third base. And the lead runner, Dalton Varsho, was still able to get in there. So pitcher Jack Donahue gets himself an RBI. Here comes Sam Klein, and the first pitch is over for strike one to Klein. Evergreen still looking for their first out. They're playing the third baseman, Cody Cocker, even with the bag. A ground ball to third, Cocker would probably try and come home. The Evergreens play the rest of the infield back. It's so wet and the ball rolls so slowly today, it'd be very hard to turn a double play, but that's what the Evergreens are hoping for. Burrell's pitch there is down low. Sam Klein grounded out to second base his first time up. Brady Burrell with the high set. Here's his pitch. That's over for a strike. It's 1 ball and 1 strike. Today's D.C. Everest baseball game sponsored by Intercity State Bank, providing full-service banking to families and businesses. Intercity State Bank, come bank with us. Convenient locations in Schofield, Weston, and Wausau. Burrell looks in and gets his sign from catcher Mason Hagenbusher. Dalton Varsho's got a big lead. Runner is going from first base. Pitches up high for a ball. Throw down. Oh, the Evergreens do not throw down. Fake the throw to try and get the runner off third, and Dalton Varsho did not bite. So it's a stolen base for Jack Donahue, and now with none out, there are two men in scoring position. Runners at second and third. Yeah, Mason Hagenbusher decided not to throw down because Varsho was going to break towards the plate there. Instead, here comes the 2-ball, 1-strike count. Pitch is on the way, and that's a swing and fouled off. 2 balls, 2 strikes. Base hit here could give Marshfield the lead. Brady Burrell was just cruising through the first 3 innings. He's run into some trouble here in the bottom of the 4th. Evergreen's 2 runs, 6 hits, and an error. And that error has cost them the run here. Marshfield, 1 run, 1 hit, 1 error. All aces for the Tigers. Pitch there, off-speed pitch, strike 3 called. Brady Burrell needed that strikeout, and he got it. Got Sam Klein looking. Well, the double play is no longer in order here. Jace Krasselt to bat. I believe he is the one and only. No, he's one of 2 left-handed batters in the Marshfield lineup. Dalton Varsho is also a lefty. So Brady Burrell continues to have to work carefully with 2 in scoring position. Krasselt worked out a walk, almost a squeeze play on there. Oh, he squared to bunt, missed it. And Dalton Varsho was all the way down the line, retreated back to third base. Because Cody Cocker was charging in from third base was uncovered, and Varsho was able to go back. Not very often you see that kind of, now that's a safety squeeze. But Varsho realized the bunt did not go down and was able to retreat there. I don't think that's the kind of play you would have on twice in the same at-bat. The pitch was called a ball. So here is the 1-0 pitch. Again, he was looking to bunt. And that is ball 2. Umpire indicating that the bat was pulled back there. Bottom line is Brady Burrell's got to throw strikes here. Trailing in the count, 2-0. Don't want to load up the bases. Brady Burrell does indeed throw a strike, and it's fouled back into the screen. 2 balls and a strike. Trying to work out of a little bit of a jam in what may be Brady Burrell's last inning. There is indeed action in the D.C. Everest bullpen. Austin Solomon is throwing down the third base line. Solomon was fabulous when we last saw him on Friday. I'll tell you a little bit about that in the next inning if Austin Solomon is indeed the pitcher. It's such a good story, it's worth telling again. Here's Burrell's 2-1 pitch. Looking to bunt again and bunted back into the screen. They're trying to work that safety squeeze, and Jace Krasselt has been unable to get the ball down. 2 balls and 2 strikes. Can Brady Burrell battle back and get another strikeout here? He was able to strike out Klein for the first out. Could really take some of the pressure off him if he can get Krasselt here. 2 balls, 2 strikes, 1 out. With runners on 2nd and 3rd, Brady Burrell is getting his sign from catcher Mason Hagenbusher. Checks the runner at 3rd, who almost broke towards home plate again. Runner is free to swing away here, and the pitch is down low, and the count goes full. A big pitch is coming up here for Brady Burrell. Will he get this much-needed 2nd out, or will he load the bases? We're about to find out. Again, Dalton Varsho is almost 1/3 of the way down the line. Payoff pitch coming, swing, and a miss. Brady Burrell got the strikeout again. Brady's 5th strikeout against 2 walks. Devin Zaradka now to bat. So Marshfield getting 1 run back. And they really need to get more out of this. Austin Solomon, if he's going to come in and work the 5th, 6th, and 7th, has been a stingy pitcher. Solomon's last appearance Friday was his best pitching appearance of the season. The only time that Solomon has struggled on the mound for the Evergreens has been in cold weather. And we've got a warm, muggy afternoon here. First pitch here from Burrell to Devin Zaradka is outside for ball 1. And Brady Burrell, I think, wants to keep the pressure on himself here. You don't want to let up and give up something cheap here. Yeah, this is the difference between the Evergreens leading by 1 and Marshfield leading by 1. A hit here would bring in 2 runs, and that's popped up behind home plate. Is there a play for Hagenbusher there? No. The sound you heard was the ball going over the backstop and hitting the bleachers out of play. It's 1 ball and 1 strike. Evergreens baseball on Fox Sports Radio, sponsored by Country Fresh Meats. When it comes to the best meat, no one does it better than Country Fresh Meats, Highways 29 and J in Weston. And Easy Living Management, the longest-running rental management company in the area. Let Easy Living Management make managing your rental property easy. Brady Burrell's got a new baseball after the foul. One ball, one strike. Here's his pitch. And there's a line drive caught by first baseman Josh Merchant, and the inning comes to an end. Merchant made an error that led to a run. He made up for it there. Josh Merchant caught a line drive that would have been down into the corner in right field if he didn't reach up and snag it. Marshfield gets one run on one hit, but they leave two men in scoring position. At the end of four, the Evergreens still have a lead over the Tigers 2-1. Back in a minute on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM 93.9.